Warning, this show contains childish adult content and is intended for immature, mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views spoken are ours and ours alone, not those of any other bugger. If you're easily offended, we strongly suggest finding another podcast. Everybody neat and pretty, then on with the show.
Hello and welcome back to the first episode of Diz After Dark for February 2024. I am here, P-Dubs, your host, and joining me tonight is the other Paul on the show, Mr. D.
Ah, buenos dias. How are you?
Still on your Spanish trek.
I'm in the Spanish pavilion in Epcot. Oh, wait a minute. We don't have one of ours.
Not yet. It'll happen at some point. I'm sure that's one of the ones that's been talked about for years.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So, it is just the two of us tonight. So before we start the show, what are you drinking, Mr. D?
Well, you know, I'm sticking with the Spanish theme, so I've got some Cruz Campo, a bottle of Cruz Campo. I've got a few of its mates lined up, depending on how many of them we need. So,
yep. Well, I'm sticking to your Scottish side. I've got my can of Iron Brew, as always.
Very good.
And on that note, I'd just like to raise a glass to the Lucas family. Craig's not around at the moment and won't be for a little while. But this is to Craig and his family.
Yeah, cheers, Craig. We're thinking about you.
We're going to dive in. We're going to do something a little bit different, kind of what you did for the Christmas show yesterday. In a way, we both kind of come up with this idea separately. You came up with it for the Christmas one, how you would spend Christmas Day. And I'd had this idea of kind of building a perfect day in the park. So your perfect day, what you would do. So I kind of came up with this concept where we kind of do a couple of attractions in the morning, a lunch, couple more attractions in the afternoon, dinner, and then either a couple more attractions in the evening, or do you take in the nighttime spectacular? And I pass this over to Mr. D. I don't know which park we're going to. This is all off the cuff. I passed it over to Mr. D to take his pick of which park he wanted to build his perfect day in. And I will follow suit. So, Mr. D, which park are we heading to?
Okay, so, this is great. I mean, you start thinking about it, and you're like, oh, how do you have a perfect day in Walt Disney World? And actually, there's lots of different ways you can do it. So I kind of had this idea, and then I had that idea, and then I thought, right, okay, I want something pretty chilled, really, because when I go to Florida, I've got a bit of a reputation for packing it in. You know, I've got the plan, I've got the spreadsheets, and I'm go. But anyway, I'm trying to be a little bit more chilled now. So I wanted to start in the kind of boardwalk area. Just have a coffee on the boardwalk, people watch, maybe grab a little bit of breakfast Trattoria Al Forno. It's a nice little breakfast spot. You can just watch the world go by. But then from there, you can walk in to the International Gateway in Epcot. So that's our park. Right. Epcot. Right.
I had a feeling we might be heading to Epcot. I know I know you're a lover of Epcot.
Again, I thought about, well, you could rope drop Flight of Passage, because I love Flight of Passage, and I think Animal Kingdom's great in the morning, and it's better for the safari in the morning, or there's nothing that beats a Magic Kingdom. But yeah, I just thought it's quite a nice way to start. It usually isn't a super early morning, because Epcot opens a bit later, but it's also got what I think is the best attraction in Walt Disney World right now. So I've been lucky and I've been on my phone early in the morning and I've got myself a boarding group for Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes.
Good choice.
So I'm going to stroll into Epcot and just kind of walk my way through Epcot. Obviously coming in at the International Gateway, cut down through Canada and the UK. And,
oh, Canada.
Yeah, they've got a band back again, which they were pretty good, actually. It's not, remember, it used to be Off Kilter.
Yeah, yeah, they were very good. In fact, I've got their version of the song from Cars on my phone. I listen to it quite regularly.
Yeah.
Life is a highway. That's it.
Life is a highway. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, when we were there last year, we saw them. Saw this new band. I don't know what they're called. I haven't researched it, but they were pretty good. They had a good crowd. So anyway, walked through Canada, into what do they call it now? Because it's like.
You've got World Nature, mm-hmm. World Discovery. World Discovery is where Test Track is.
Yeah.
And where Mission Space is and Guardians.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So that's where we're heading for World Discovery. And have a little ride of Guardians of the Galaxy. Now I think there's five songs on Guardians of the Galaxy, and the only one we haven't had is, hang on a second, Flock of Seagulls we've had, September we've had, Blondie we've had. I think the only one we haven't had is Disco Inferno, I think. So given that this is a perfect day, guess what? We got Disco Inferno, and it was great.
Yeah. All great songs. Yeah. That is the one thing I will say about James Gunn,
mm-hmm.
is that he nailed the soundtracks in all three Guardians and the Christmas. But Christmas special has now been added to our Christmas rotation.
Right.
Because it was, in fact, I thought it was better than the first two films.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really good. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I really liked it. The funny thing was, the only one, there was one, the Gloria Estefan one. Is it Congo? Conga, yeah. Sorry. Kerry was like, oh no, I hate that song. I hope we don't get that. And we got it twice in a row. But even she admitted that actually for the ride, it works and it's really good. So they're all good, you're right. They're all good songs.
Yeah.
So, Guardians of the Galaxy, we actually got a little bit of trivia in the song September, Earth, Wind and Fire. There is a line about the 21st of September.
Did you ride it on the 21st of September?
And we did, yeah. We rode it on the 21st of September and we got September. Now, there was a theory going around.
That's all they were playing?
Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not, but we did get it. So, who knows? But yeah, that was a bit of fun. From Guardians, quite like to work across to the other side of the park, and I like a little bit of Living with the Land, you know, it's a classic ride.
Yeah.
It's quite chilled again, having a chilled day. So a little bit of Living with the Land. Do enjoy that. And then with a bit of luck, might get a Genie Plus for Soarin'. Now, here's the thing. Is it Soarin' around the world or is it Soarin' over California? Tough choice. I think I'm going for Soarin' around the world. And again, we were lucky enough that we were there when they did the switch last year in September. So we got both versions of it. And they're both really good. Obviously, the newer version, the image is cleaner. But there are a couple of dodgy CGI bits, Taj Mahal in particular. I think everybody knows that. The original one, I think the music is a little bit better, but they're both great. So love me a Soarin'. Like to try and get on the So the, you know, it's effectively it's the top row, so you don't have any feet above you in the middle, and then the section that's in the middle. So you've got three sections. Get the section in the middle and get the top row, so you don't have any feet above you. So that's my perfect sky, you know, soaring attraction. And I think that's probably taken me up to kind of lunchtime. Feeling a bit thirsty now, so I'm going to head back across to the other side, and I've got a bar reservation or a lounge reservation for Space 220. So I'm going to ride the Space Elevator or whatever it's called, Space Elevator, up to the space station, and I'm going to. You've got a bar reservation, so it's literally a bar stool, or you can sit at one of the tables, but I think you've got to order a meal if you're sitting at the table. But if you sit at the bar, obviously you can get drinks, you can get some nice cocktails, and they have a bar menu, which is pretty good. They've got some nice stuff there. So just sit there and have a cocktail, watch the world go by, literally. Watch the spaceships go by. I do think there's a missed opportunity there, though. In Space 220, there's so many other things that they could have as little Easter eggs going by, like the Millennium Falcon or, you know, Buzz Lightyear or anything really, anything space themed. But
yeah,
they don't seem to have gone that way.
It's interesting because I went to see Back to the Future the musical again a couple of weeks ago, and they've got a scene. I won't spoil the scene, but it's right at the start of the second act, and it's kind of Doc talking through everything that he's doing. So in the film, it's when he gets hit on the head,
right?
And he discovers the flux capacitor, and basically, it's what's going on in his head while he's creating this, and it goes through a cycle. And they use other things in it, so the TARDIS flies past.
Wow.
And things like that. And they mentioned Captain Kirk's spaceship and things like that. And that's kind of what we all thought Space 220 was going to be, because it was going to be an Easter egg of all these Disney space-themed things.
Yeah.
And it isn't.
No. I mean, obviously, they can still do it, and hopefully they will at some point. But what's weird about that is Disney pioneered something like that on the cruise ships. I mean, they had these virtual portholes where if you had an inside cabin, it was effectively a TV screen, but it looked like a window, and you could see a live cam view of what was happening outside the ship. So it was a virtual porthole, and it was a live view. But then they would have things like the Black Pearl from Pirates of the Caribbean would sail past, would be superimposed, or Mickey would peek around the corner and things like that. So, you know, they got to connect the dots on some of this stuff. But anyway, it's still a great place to hang out. It's really chilled. Nice cocktails and nice little nibbles at the bar. So that's what we're doing there. And once we've done that, I'm heading back to the International Gateway, because what I didn't tell you is I've treated myself, or you've treated me. On this perfect day.
Yeah, the podcast has treated you, Mr. Day.
Yeah, the podcast has treated me. Craig's treated us, right? So I'm going back to the beach club. I'm staying at the beach club, right? Craig's put me up for the night. And I'm going to try Storm Along Bay, because I've always wanted to try that. The little, it's like a pool, but it's more like a mini water park that the beach club residents can use. So just kind of chill out there for the afternoon. Maybe have another couple of cocktails at the pool bar they've got there, and then get freshened up. And I think I'm going to ride the Skyliner for the evening, and I'm going to take it to the studios, and I'm going to go for dinner in Hollywood Brown Derby. The Hollywood Brown Derby, I'm not just doing it because it is the most expensive restaurant. I'm doing it because we went there on our last trip, and we hadn't been there for probably 10 years when it was free dining you know, when we had the free dining plan, we went there a couple of times. We really enjoyed it. But we decided to treat ourselves. It was only Kerry and I. And I took her there for a meal. And it was really, really good. It was a great atmosphere. Again, nice and relaxed. Fantastic food. And you get your priority passes for Fantasmic. So after we've had our very nice dinner, we've got a Fantasmic dinner package, which I'm assuming most people know what that is. But in Hollywood and Vine, Mama Melrose, Sci-Fi and Hollywood Brown Derby, if you sign up in advance, and obviously they're limited, so do it 60 days out, you can sign up for a Fantasmic dinner package. It's a set price, and you get a priority seating ticket for Fantasmic that night. And they're good seats, right in the middle, so it's definitely worth it. So that's what we're going to do. But on the way down there, we are going to stop off at Tower of Terror, because I love me a bit of Tower of Terror. We'll ride Tower of Terror, and then we're going in to see Fantasmic. And I think that's, I mean, it's a tough one, because they're all good, but I haven't seen Harmonious. I love Illuminations, but that's gone. I do like Happily Ever After at the Magic Kingdom, but I think Fantasmic is our favourite show, nighttime show at the minute. Yeah, so
we're the oldest one out of all of them.
It is now, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah,
it definitely is. Yeah,
yeah, it's about 30 years old.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't come back at Disneyland yet, has it?
Not yet. It's after due the fire, back in April, I think.
Good.
And they've gone back to the original scene. Peter Pan is back.
Oh, great!
Pirates of the Caribbean is now replaced once more.
Mm-hmm.
And brought back the old scene with Peter Pan and Captain Hook.
Yeah, so, that is great. That is a great reveal. I'm not spoiling it for anybody, but I remember the first, I think I've said this before, the first park I ever went to was Disneyland, and we saw Fantasmic, and it was pretty new. I mean, this was 92, so it was a pretty new show, and it was just blew me away. I'd never seen anything like that. First time I'd ever been in a theme park.
It's why Hollywood Studios will always hold a place for me, because it was the first time I saw a Disney nighttime spectacular was Fantasmic.
Yeah,
and it was exactly that, and it was alongside the Osborne Christmas Lights.
Mm-hmm.
So I did both in one night.
Yeah.
And that pretty much goes, this is what Disney is.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
It's not going to get any better than this.
No.
So that's why Hollywood Studios will always be my favorite park in Orlando. And Fantasmic will always, no matter what, we've talked about the incident infinitum on this show. It doesn't spoil what I feel for that show.
Yeah.
When me and Nick went, when we did Halloween Horror Nights, and of course we did, it was the opening of Galaxy's Edge hadn't been that long before. We didn't stay because we were going back.
Mm-hmm.
For Halloween Horror Nights, it felt very weird going to Hollywood Studios and not seeing Fantasmic.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, it's an awesome show. Absolutely. I mean, I know people who have gone to Florida for the first time and they come by and say, "What did you think of Fantasmic?" "Oh no, we didn't stay for that." You think, "What?" You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's it. Fantasmic, and then because we rode the Skyliner to get to the studios, we're going to take the little Friendship, which is a little boat that takes you back to the beach club, and that's quite a nice relaxing way to come back at night. All the lights are on and everybody's tired, and just kind of, you know, relax and take a little boat trip back to the beach club, and then that's it. Time for bed.
Well,
maybe
nice.
A cocktail before bed,
maybe a cocktail, an Irish coffee.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I'll go for that. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start in a similar vein.
Okay.
To you. I'm going to be staying at the Riviera.
Ooh.
Because I like that area. I like Caribbean Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I love that the Skyliner is there.
Yeah.
I'm going to start by getting a Joffrey's coffee.
Yes.
At the Skyliner station.
Mm-hmm.
Start with that. Take the Skyliner, as you say, down to Epcot and make my way into the International Gateway. same as you.
Yeah.
But I am going to head the other way, and I'm going to start my day in France.
Nice.
With Ratatouille the Adventure. I know it's the same as the one in Paris. I quite like the one in Paris.
I've never ridden the one in Paris. Well, the last time we were there, they were literally just building it. The facade was there, but it hadn't opened. So is it any different?
I don't think the ride is any different. Obviously, the area is a little bit different. Paris has, mm-hmm. has built an entire kind of Ratatouille-themed Paris around it. Yeah. But the ride itself is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And I've got no problems with that. I quite like it. I think it's a great way to start your day off.
Yeah.
Not an overly exciting ride, but very well themed. And I think that kind of kicks off your day.
I think it's a great ride. I think it's really clever.
We enjoyed it. In the same way you said that you saw it kind of nearly at a finished stage. I remember going for the first time to Paris. And it hadn't been announced, but they were doing it. They were building it at the time, and it was behind some gates.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like, oh, we're not building anything, but you could see them building it. Mm. So over the first few times I went, we slowly saw it come into being. So it's kind of one of those weird ones. Like, even Avengers Campus, I saw being built because I was an annual pass holder while it was happening, and things like that. They kind of do hold something, don't they? When you've seen them in various stages, they kind of stick with you.
That's right.
I'm starting my day in France with Ratatouille, and then I'm going to head round the corner and get on Frozen Ever After.
Okay.
Just again, because it's well themed, not an overly taxing start to the day.
Mm-hmm.
I like to, and I know all the people are going to hate me. I quite like having Disney characters in Epcot. It's a Disney theme park. Most people go to Disney to see the characters.
I don't mind it if it's done right. So I don't mind it in Frozen. I don't mind it in Ratatouille because they're kind of themed with the land. So it kind of fits the land that they're in. So that's absolutely fine. And I don't mind like Muppets. You remember you used to have the little mobile Muppet lab that scooted around? That's great because that kind of fits with what used to be Future World. I just don't like to see just random Disney IPs shoved in here or there.
Yeah, I have to say I wasn't. I love Wreck-It Ralph.
Mm.
Great film.
Yeah.
I don't think it belonged at Epcot.
No.
With the plans that they'd had for the play pavilion. For me, that wasn't, it was out of place. That's the kind of film that you feel like should be in the studios. It's kind of a Hollywood gaming film, isn't it? So it kind of feels like it fits there. A little bit more. I totally agree. As long as it kind of fits, then I'm okay. But there's some things that just don't work.
Yeah.
And then I suppose it is lunchtime. I'm going to head to the Mexican Pavilion.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to have some Taco Tuesday, though it's Monday. I'm going to just something simple for lunch. Mm-hmm. Doesn't need to be a big meal. I'm heading to Mexico for the San Angel in Restaurante. That is where I am heading.
It's a lovely restaurant. You can watch the boats go by and
it's
just a really nice atmosphere in there.
Yeah.
I like it.
And I guess following on from that, I am going to go on the Grand Fiesta Tour.
Be rude not to.
Yeah, it's the afternoon. You've had something to eat. Nice, nice, slow time. And on that, I'm also then going to head the other way, and I'm going to follow your footsteps, and I'm going to go on Living with the Land for a nice, relaxing after meal, relaxing boat ride. A couple of relaxing boat rides there. Could have picked the seas with Nemo. Mm-hmm. But I have to say I'm not a massive fan of that. I wish they'd kind of take Nemo out of that in some ways. The original always seems like it was a better fit. So yeah, I'm going with two boat rides for my afternoon.
Well, three, because you've had Frozen Ever After as well.
Yeah, that's wouldn't really call it a. It's not a slow moving boat ride, is it? Though it's not a after not meal one. And then I suppose I better think about my dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Germany.
Yeah,
to the buffet.
Okay.
The
beer garden.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've never been in there, but I've seen plenty of videos of it, and the food always looks really good.
Yeah, it's really really popular. We walked in once just to have a look, and they were fine. They just let you come in, and there's an Oompa band playing and stuff like that. But we've never eaten there. Not because we didn't like the look of it. It's just spoiled for choice, really. But
Epcot, you really are spoiled for choice. And that's kind of why I wanted to step away from the mm-hmm. typical Le Cellier and places like that, and like the Nine Dragons and Teppanyado and places like that. I kind of wanted to pick something a little bit different. So as you can tell, I'm staying at Epcot for the whole day. But I'm not doing the nighttime spectacular. I'm gonna be honest, I'm not always a massive fan. Like, I love a nighttime parade. Give me Main Street Electrical Parade or Paint the Night or something like that.
Yeah.
And I love it. Fireworks and stuff, I'm not a massive fan of. Mm-hmm. Other than, as I say, Fantasmic. It's something a little bit different, isn't it? Saying that, give me the new nighttime show at Disneyland Paris.
Mm-hmm.
The Main Street Sky Parade. Give me something like that and I'm away, but fireworks don't always grab me. So I'm going to do some of the bigger rides now. While people are watching those, I am going to head to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Quite right.
Have to do that. It has to be in there somewhere. And I just felt while people are watching the show, there'll be less of a queue.
Yeah,
I'll go and do that. And then to finish off my day, I'm going to blow the cobwebs away with a ride on Test Track to finish my day off. Just that little bit of adrenaline. Then once that's worn off, it'll be time for bed. Time for an Irish coffee or something like that.
Yeah.
To finish off my night from Joffrey's on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Jump on that Skyliner once more to take me back to the Riviera.
Make sure you watch the light show on Spaceship Earth on the way out, because it's great. I mean, we thought it was amazing, and we didn't really expect it to be anything. And it's short, but it's just, for not a lot of money, they've done something really good there.
Yeah, I agree. The Spaceship Earth stuff's always been really fascinating. Even back when I did my first Run Disney weekend, which is, in fact, that's a decade. It's 10 years in November since I did that. Even then, they were lighting up Spaceship Earth with different colours when we finished the race, because obviously most of the race is finished in Epcot. And even then, Spaceship Earth was lit up. Obviously, the one I did was Wine and Dine. So at that point, it was a nighttime race.
Right.
So we started at about 11 o'clock and we came back into Epcot about 3 or 4 in the morning. And it was all lit up. It looked lovely. And now, obviously, they've upgraded that massively with this new projection mapping. Spectacular. But that is my day. I'm ending it with a ride on Test Track.
Lovely.
Before heading back to my hotel.
Yeah, we visited Riviera. We jumped off the Skyliner there. First time we'd been there on our last trip. And I was really impressed by it. I thought it was a great looking resort. Yeah. I mean, I can't stay there because I've got resale points, but I would stay there if I could.
Yeah.
And my daughter and her boyfriend, because somehow they seem to have lots of money, and we don't. But they ate in the restaurant up the top. What's it called now? Prima Piazza, is it?
Yeah.
And they said it was amazing, you know, fantastic views, fantastic food. We had a coffee down below in the coffee shop, which was good. We had a walk around the resort, and it was, they've done a nice job.
Yeah. I just love that area. I think it's it's such a central location for obviously Hollywood Studios and Epcot.
It is.
We loved staying at Caribbean Beach. It was so easy. And he was 18 months at the time. Mm-hmm. So things weren't easy to get around. Even without the Skyliner there, Caribbean Beach was so easy. Yeah. You were at those two parks within between 5 and 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's great.
So it's a great location, and to see that they put in something so spectacular as a DVC unit there.
Mm-hmm.
Is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that concludes our perfect day. Mr. D went a bit left field and decided to dump on a park and go to another one.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, since Craig's put me up in a beach club, I'm definitely going to try that Stormalong Bay, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take advantage of that.
Yeah, definitely. But
Yeah,
that wraps that up. Thank you very much, Mr. Day. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Pleasure, me too. Yeah, it was good fun.
Yeah, something a little bit different.
Yes, definitely.
And as we said, for anybody that listens to our Patreon, we're trying to make things a little bit more personal to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we're a little bit reading off a menu at times, which we do
literally
quite
sometimes.
A lot. Yeah. Which is obviously personal in our choices, but kind of doesn't really get to know us as Disney fans, because that's what we are. We are Disney fans. We're nothing else. None of us have got any training or anything. We just love to natter about Disney.
Yes, we do.
So that wraps up our first episode here in February 2024. Thank you very much, Mr. D.
Pleasure, as always.
And we will see you in a couple of weeks with our second episode for February.
See you soon.
Why? Because we like you.
Kick it!
Can't get enough! Can't get enough!
He's the one, two, three!
Mickey Mania! Never gonna end Mickey Mania!
You're my man!
Mickey Mania!
He's really a nice mouse!
He sure is!
Now hold on, move it, live it up, prove it, give it a rock, the house of the mouse!
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.